For those of you who think of God's commandments as irrelevant, Skip Heitzig suggests you try and look at them with a different perspective.
I know that this commandment is controversial with some folks. I understand and I realize that many have viewed this commandment through the lens of tradition. I'm just going to urge that today you open up your ears and your heart to the scripture, because we're to take our cues not from what we've always done or how we've always seen it or what we've always thought, but we want to take all of our cues for any practice from scripture.
Make the connection.
Rest isn't the first thing we think of when it comes to our daily routine. Get up, eat breakfast, get the kids ready for school, go to work, come home, make dinner, get ready for the next day, go to bed, and do it all over again in the morning. Rest just doesn't factor into that schedule. Well, God cares enough about us that He ordered us to get some rest every now and then, which some find controversial and others find impossible. Skip Heitzig examines why and why we should obey God's command to rest today here on The Connection. But before we begin, I just wanted to remind you that it's your support that makes it possible for us to have these daily studies with you. And more than that, you make it possible for us to share the good news of God's Word with people all over the world. When you join the Global Connectors, you can help us continue to do that. We'll also send you a free resource each month. So if you'd like to help support this ministry and get some free stuff, just call us at 1-800-922-1888 or visit connectionradio.org. You know, before our lives get even more hectic than they already are, let's hear what God has to say about taking it easy for our sake and for His.
And make the connection.
Skip Heitzig begins today's study with some insight on a new discovery he made not too long ago on vacation. So if you'll turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20, we'll join him for the start of today's study.
A couple of years ago, my wife and I took a vacation. We went to a quaint spot by a mountain village, and we just relaxed. And while we were there on vacation, I got into something that I had heard about, but I had never practiced. It's called the nap, taking a nap. And I found myself in the afternoon taking a nap, and sometimes even taking two naps. And I realized I haven't taken enough of these things in my life. And after a few days of this behavior, I found myself breathing differently, walking differently, thinking differently. My thoughts became clear. Creative juices and energy started flowing again. Life was just better. We have been studying the Ten Commandments. It's God's foundational truths to make life better. And in the Ten Commandments, we discovered the fourth commandment, the tender commandment. The tender commandment from a compassionate God saying, in your vocation, take a vacation once a week. And we notice that this, along with the others, are commandments. They're not 10 suggestions, not 10 proposals, not 10 great ideas, if you'd like to, but they are 10 commandments. And whenever we follow God's commandments, we find ourselves more satisfied, happier, better, because holiness is always the key to happiness. There was an Orthodox rabbi who decided that he would play golf on the Sabbath. So there he was playing golf on the Sabbath, and the angel Gabriel saw it, and he told God, as if God didn't know. So we got a rabbi playing golf on the Sabbath day. I suggest we strike him dead with lightning. And the Lord said, no, I have a much better idea. Just then the rabbi swung his golf club and hit that ball straight down the fairway, 420 yards. It bounced on the green, rolled into the cup for a hole in one. And he was ecstatic. He was whooping it up and so excited. And Gabriel said, hey, God, what gives? I thought you were going to punish him. God said, I did. Who's he going to tell? That poor rabbi breaking the Sabbath isn't about to tell somebody that he was golfing on the Sabbath day. Now, we've been studying last week, and we continue this week, four verses, verse 8 through 11. Let's look at those again. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. I know that this commandment is controversial with some folks. I understand and I realize that many have viewed this commandment through the lens of tradition. I'm just going to urge that today you open up your ears and your heart to the Scripture, because we're to take our cues not from what we've always done or how we've always seen it or what we've always thought, but we want to take all of our cues for any practice from Scripture. Charles Spurgeon used to tell his congregation, but especially his students of ministry, that they become so immersed in Bible truth that, in his words, your spirit is flavored with the words of the Lord, so that your blood is bibline, and the very essence of the Bible flows from you. So let's do that. Let's dig a little bit deeper into this commandment. Let's discover its truths. Why is this commandment so important? Why is the Sabbath rest so important? Why is it so important to set a safeguard around a day? Why is it so vital to communicate that to associates and colleagues? Hands off. This is a special day. And more than that, or on top of that, who changed the Sabbath day? What about Sunday versus Saturday? Is Sunday a fourth century conspiracy to eradicate the Saturday Sabbath? We're going to look at those and hopefully answer that this morning. You'll notice that this commandment is the longest of all of the Ten Commandments. That is, it's not only a commandment, but there's more supplemental material, four verses, that are attached to it. I counted them, 98 words in total. It's the longest of all the commandments. So we took half of it last week and half of it this week. We discovered in the first two verses the balance between vacation and vocation. We discovered that a rest is commanded, and we're to remember the Sabbath and what it means to remember the Sabbath, but how that over time became misconstrued by New Testament times. And then we discovered also in verse 9 that it implies not only a rest, but you've got to rest from something. So you work hard, diligently, productively the rest of the week. Today we continue with this, and we want to look at a sort of a clarification, an explanation, if you will. In verse 10, the rest is clarified, amplified, explained, and then the reason for this commandment is given in verse 11. So I know we've read through it, but would you look more carefully at the 10th verse? It says, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. You, your son, your daughter, your male servant, female servant, pets, etc. In other words, take a break. That's really what the Sabbath means. Shabbat means stop, cease, quit, take an intermission, chill out, unplug, veg out. It means just stop doing something. As David will say in Psalm 23, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Why does he do that? To restore my soul. That's why he does that. So it means that you stop doing on this day what you always do the other 6 days. It's that 6-in-1 agreement. This is a different day. Don't work. Now, in hearing last week's message and even what I just shared just now, some are thinking this. Well, Skip, I agree with that in concept. In principle, that sounds pretty good. But Skip, you don't understand. I'm in a busy season of my life. That's the reason I've taken 47 other jobs. I just got to get a little ahead, got to get those bills under control. I've got to put bread on the table. Well, that's interesting. Because in Exodus 16, God gave bread from heaven so that they could put bread on the table. And he said, go out and get it for 6 days, but not on the seventh day. Get twice as much on the sixth and have enough for the seventh, but on the seventh, just hang out and enjoy. But there was a person, in fact, a small group, who decided, let's go out on the seventh day anyway. Let's get ahead. Let's get ahead of the curve. Let's do a little bit extra. And they went out there on the seventh day to get manna, get bread, put it on their table. And it says in the Bible, they found nothing. Now you might be thinking, well, that certainly doesn't describe me, because those extra jobs that I've been doing and that working extra hard, boy, has it really been paying off. Bonus checks are coming in, getting the bigger house, faster car, all the toys. Life's good. But I venture to say that in the end, you will find that it amounts to nothing. It amounts to nothing. Now, I want you to notice a couple of things in that verse where it's explained, verse 10, the rest is clarified. You'll discover that the Sabbath is good for you. And first of all, it's just good for you physically. There's sort of an emphasis underlying the text. The word you, your, is used repetitively. You shall work, but on this day you shall not work, you nor your son nor your daughter. In other words, this is God's caring for you. God cares for you. Jesus said, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. In other words, the Sabbath is a gift. It's a benefit that God gives to us. God said a few thousand years ago what production analysts are now finally figuring out. They say, quote, work breaks increase productivity. After 40 hours of work, concentration levels drop, mistakes increase, and morale goes down. So God knew what he was talking about. This is good for you physically. Now, I'm sort of ashamed to say it, but among Christian workers, gospel workers, pastors, ministers, missionaries, there is sort of this unwritten code that overwork is next to godliness. And I've heard this statement that I'm about to make from more than a few. It goes like this: I'd rather burn out for God than rust out. Ladies and gentlemen, that's stupid. Think about it. Either way, you're out. Whether you burn out or rust out, you're out. Isn't the whole point to stay in? And the reason God put this commandment in the 10 is so that you'd stay in and not get out, burn out or rust out. And the way you stay in is take time off so that when you get back in, you'll last longer. And even the Lord Jesus knew this and practiced it. There was a time that the disciples came to Jesus in Mark 6, we read, "The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and all they had taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, 'Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest.'" That's the Lord Jesus Christ. "Hey, boys, you're doing great work, great preaching. Go take a break. Get some rest." So, renewal and restoration are not luxuries. They're necessities. Taking a day off, taking a vacation off, isn't carnal and sinful. It's Christ-like and spiritual. So the Sabbath is good for you physically. Something else to notice in verse 10, the Sabbath is good for you relationally. Notice, you take it off, your son, your daughter, your employees, maidservants, male servants, all those that are attached to you relationally, because the Sabbath is good for you relationally. A lot of articles have been written about what Americans have been involved in the last several years, the rat race. And one such article is from a Scientific American. The author is Yuri Bronfenbrenner, who writes, "The demands of a job that claim mealtimes, evenings, and weekends, as well as days, trips and moves necessary to get ahead or simply to hold one's own, the increasing time spent commuting, entertaining, going out, meeting social and community obligations, all of these produce a situation in which a child often spends more time with a passive babysitter than with a participating parent." You know, I have talked to a lot of parents throughout my ministry, and I've seen parents from young parents all the way to aged and dying parents, my own included. It's interesting, I have never yet heard a parent at the end of his or her life bemoan spending too much time with their children. I've never heard of a parent on a deathbed going, "One regret I have is I spent too much time with my kids. I gave too much of my time to my family." Now, I've heard a lot of regrets on the other side, not enough time, not enough quality or quantity time. And when you live life at full bore, something's got to give. And you know what usually does give? Relationships. Relationships. There was a young man being sentenced to a state penitentiary for a crime. The judge knew the boy since he was a little kid. And the judge knew the boy's father. In fact, the boy's father was a famous lawyer who had written the classic book, a legal scholarly work. But he was a very busy man. The judge knew that too. So there's the young man before the judge, and the judge says to the young man, "Son, you remember your father, don't you?" He says, "Of course, Your Honor, I remember him quite well." And then to probe the young man's conscience, the judge said, "Now, son, as you're about to be sentenced, and as you think back to your wonderful dad, what memory comes up most clearly to you?" And there was a long pause. And the young man said to the judge, "Well, I remember going to him for advice. He looked up from the book that he was writing and said, 'Run along, boy. I'm busy.' And when I went to him for companionship, he turned me away saying, 'I've got to finish this book.' Your Honor, you remember him as a great lawyer. I remember him as a lost friend." And the judge understood in that moment crystal clear what had happened. And the judge muttered under his breath, "Finished the book, but lost the boy. Finished the book, but lost the boy. This commandment is to benefit you and to benefit me. It's good for you physically. It's good for you relationally. And more than that, it's good for you spiritually." Notice what it is called in our text. It is called the Sabbath of the Lord your God. You know that when you take a day and you do what the Bible says, you rest, you relax, you rejuvenate, you rekindle, what you're saying is you're acknowledging that He is the Lord, your God. In effect, you're saying, Lord, I acknowledge that whatever I have isn't because of my own intellectual business prowess and my own work ethic, but it's because of You. You're my provider, and I'm going to prove that to myself and to my family by honoring You. And you know how you prove it? By stopping. By stopping. Because if you don't, in effect, what you're saying is that you worship yourself, not the Lord your God. It's all pride. You're proving that you acknowledge He is your Lord by saying, this day I stop. Now, it's sort of like the tithe. Many people will say, oh, all that I have belongs to the Lord, but they never tithe. Those are just empty words. Now, you've seen the bumper sticker that says, honk if you love Jesus. You've seen that, haven't you, over the years? There's one out there, I don't know if you've seen this one, but it is a bumper sticker. I read it. It says, tithe if you love Jesus, any idiot can honk. Because the tithe proves everything I have belongs to the Lord. And what the tithe does monetarily, the Sabbath does in terms of your time. Everything, every moment I have belongs to the Lord, and I trust Him as my provider. So this rest is explained and clarified in verse 10. Now the reason for the whole commandment is given. Verse 11, here's why you're to do it. For in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens, the earth, and the sea, and all that is in them. That's pretty good work, isn't it? 6 24-hour periods to make all that. And He rested the 7th day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and He hallowed it. So God worked 6 days, and then He was done. He rested. Okay. When you read, the Lord rested on the 7th day, does that mean God was pooped? Did God go, man, those elephants, they took it out of me. Those whales, painting the zebra's stripes. I'm pooped. No, it doesn't mean He was pooped. It just means enough was enough. He was done. God could have certainly kept creating, right, on the 7th day and the 8th day and the 9th day and the 10th day and the 35th day and the 4,363rd day. But imagine how crowded this earth would be.
You know, sometimes we just need to know when to quit. I know that isn't easy when it seems like there's always more to do. But if we don't make that choice to quit while we're ahead, you can be sure our bodies will choose to shut down when we're constantly behind. It's okay to rest every now and then. God said so. In fact, He commanded you to rest, so you'll be in good shape to continue to serve Him. And if you really want to get the most out of your time of rest, one of the best things you can do is pray. To help you do that more effectively, this month we have some special resources for you that are all focused on how to pray.
What does prayer mean to you? When are you most likely to pray? Many of us realize we should pray, that we need to pray, and that we should pray far more often than we actually do. This month, The Connection wants to help you with that with 3 insightful resources called the Prayer Points Package. Learn from Jesus' examples in the prayer book, When God Prays, by Skip Heitze. Then learn why prayer is so special in Prayer, Our Glorious Privilege, by Chuck Smith. And finally, learn how to pray with Skip's booklet, Pray This Way. All 3 resources for just $25 when you call 1-800-922-1888. Prayer for the Christian should be like breathing, but how many of us are suffocating due to a lack of prayer? Breathe deep with the insights of this month's Prayer Points Resource Package. 3 great books for just $25. Call 1-800-922-1888 or visit connectionradio.org.
And if you'd like a copy of today's teaching from Skip, just give us a call at 1-800-922-1888. 1888, or visit connectionradio.org. We'd be happy to send you a copy on CD for just $6, which includes shipping. You can also use that information to contact us to sign up for the Global Connectors. You can help us reach out and touch lives with the gospel all over the world as a supporter of the Global Connectors. And you don't even have to leave your home. Help support global evangelism and get some great resources each month as well. Call 1-800-922-1888 to ask about Global Connectors or to get a copy of today's message, or just log on to connectionradio.org.
And make the connection.
Spend one more day talking about the importance of rest and why it's actually a commandment of God on our next broadcast. So be sure to set aside some time to join us as we learn why we need to set aside some time for God. Here on The Connection, a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.